You're with Future Tense. New ideas, new approaches, new technologies.
My name's Tony Lloyd. I'm an artist, a painter in particular. I live in Melbourne and I show regularly here and overseas.
My name is Sam Leach. I'm a painter based in Melbourne, in Brunswick. I paint in a mostly fairly realistic, figurative style.
2112, Imagining the Future, is on display at the RMIT Gallery in Melbourne until the 28th of January. It's a fascinating exhibition of paintings, installations and other art forms. Now, the curator of the exhibition is Dr. Linda Williams, an Associate Professor of Art, Environment and Cultural Studies in the School of Art at RMIT University. And a few days ago, she and artist Tony Lloyd joined me to talk about the collection and matters futuristic. Well, Linda Williams and Tony Lloyd, welcome to the program.
Hello.
Thank you.
Linda Williams, you make the point in the catalogue for this exhibition that while imagining the future through science fiction thrives in literature and film, that certainly isn't the case in contemporary art. Why not, do you think?
I'm not altogether sure. I mean, one of the reasons I sought to develop this exhibition was to actually explore that question. Maybe artists are more firmly rooted in their own times, thinking and responding to issues of their own times. But then, in a sense, I guess the best science fiction does that anyway.
I would have thought, given that the public's taste for fantasy and science fiction at the moment, that there's possibly a considerable market out there for contemporary art with a future focus. Is it possible that artists feel that they won't be taken seriously if they pursue futuristic themes?
Oh, no, I wouldn't say that. And I think it's important to distinguish between science fiction, or as Margaret Atwood, in her phrase, she described it as speculative fiction, and fantasy as such. I think they're quite different genres. And you may have noticed, looking at the works in the exhibition, that many of the artists focus on climate change, global climate change, as one of the issues that concerns them about the future, that is, you know, the next 100 years, which will probably constitute a very significant tipping point in our environment. So I think there are many themes within science fiction that we need to take seriously. So I don't think the artists would be too worried about appearing frivolous in any way.
Tony Lloyd, you're an artist and you've got several pieces in the exhibition. You're obviously not afraid of tackling the future as subject matter. In your thoughts, why do you think so many of your peers don't?
Well, I think perhaps more do than is generally acknowledged. And it's not until you get artists together in a show like this that you see this common thread going through the work.
What attracts you to the future?
Well, it's a strong tradition in art, actually. So I'm very interested in speculating on what the future might bring. But there is a long tradition going back to religious paintings of the Last Judgment. You could describe them as speculative works on the future. I'm particularly interested in artists such as, say, Claude Lorrain, who did lots of paintings of ruins of the future, ruins of buildings of his age, which is the sort of work that I've done in the show. I've put these space station sort of buildings, or surveillance buildings like Pine Gap, that are in ruinous landscapes, so that they might be the ruins of today projected hundreds of years into the future.
Linda Williams, from looking at the artworks in the exhibition, a lot of them are bleak and dystopian, but there are a couple that are utopian in their focus, aren't there?
Mm-hmm. There are certainly quite a few that convey the idea of resilience as well. They may not be utopian, but they have a kind of resilient current running through them. Kenji Inobi from Japan, his big installation in the centre of the exhibition, where he's dressed up in an atom suit, which he actually wore to the exclusion zone in Chernobyl in the former Soviet Union. A figure of the artist is represented in that installation, with Kenji standing in his atom suit in the guise of a 10th century Buddhist monk, and surrounded by tiny figures that are also in atom suits that represent all of humankind. And the idea behind that work, I think, is about resilience in the face of adversity. And for Kenji, the timing of that work or showing it in Australia was very relevant given the recent events at Fukushima with the meltdown of the reactors there following the natural disaster with the earthquake and the tsunami. So while it has an eye on the future, it's also reflective of conditions in our own time.
And Tony Lloyd, your works, both of them could be described in a way as quirky, couldn't they?
Yeah, sure, I suppose. there's one of my works in the show called Sometimes You Have to Leave Without Saying Goodbye, and it shows a beautiful landscape, mountains and a lake, and a rocket taking off in the distance. And when I did this painting, I based it on the rocket that NASA hadn't built yet called the Ares rocket, which was set to take over from the space shuttle. So it absolutely was self-consciously a painting of the future. And the week after I finished the painting, Obama came in and cancelled the program for the rocket. So it's an alternate future.
It's a bad timing in one sense, but it makes for an interesting picture nonetheless, doesn't it?
Well, I think so, because there are many alternate futures, aren't there?
Linda Williams, from an Australian perspective, I think a lot of people would be fascinated by one particular painting of the Opera House in the year 2112, laying in ruins. Can you give us some details on that?
Yes, that was by a Japanese artist. It's actually a lithograph, I think, by a Japanese artist who did central Tokyo in ruins, and then after a visit to Australia depicted some major Australian icons such as the Melbourne Cricket Ground, which is also included in the exhibition, and the Opera House. And I guess this is a kind of, who knows what the reason behind these sort of dystopian images would have been in his mind. I mean, it could have been some sort of, it could be war, as you see in a lot of contemporary film, for instance. Science fiction films are often set in a kind of post-apocalyptic world, and it's not always clear what the reason was for the sort of breakdown and everything. And it's very close in the exhibition to a rather splendid work by a European collective of artists called Flooded McDonald's, in which the artist set up a almost perfect replica of a McDonald's outlet and then subjected the whole thing to a flood, to a deluge. And even Ronald McDonald gets to float across and sort of eventually sink along with the burgers and shakes and fries and everything in the shop. and that might be the result of global climate change with a dramatic rise in the sea levels, or possibly another scenario as yet unknown. But like many of the artists in the show, they're looking at aspects of life in the present that may have unforeseen consequences for the next 100 years.
And just finally, in letting the two of you go, I guess a final touchy-feely question. Linda, what are you hoping that people who visit the exhibition will take away?
Well, I'm quite interested in this whole notion of the touchy-feely, because I think the visual arts are in a very strong position to speak to hearts and minds in the way that, for example, some other academic disciplines are not able to do. So I was just speaking earlier about climate change, for example. It's certainly not the only theme in the show, but it's a major one because it is a crucial issue of our time. And we have a lot of numerical facts and data, and we read about a lot of scientific information, and that's extremely important. But I think art has the means to interpret this kind of information and make it more palpable, make it into a concrete experience that people can then reflect on and consider. You know, they're able to experience it in a bodily and sensory way. So I'm quite interested in the potential of art to have that kind of effect on the way people think about things. So touchy-feely is okay in that context, I think.
And Tony Lloyd, with your work specifically, I mean, what do you hope people will take away?
Well, I hope that they can come up with a new interpretation, you know, when they see it, when they think about it later. This idea of the future, possible futures, basically thinking of where we live and our time in a much longer sense than just the kind of weekly and daily time cycles that we get from the news. So if that's all that they get from it in the idea of thinking 100 years into the future and thinking of human existence on that sort of timescale and thinking about the consequences of our actions, then that's a great thing.
I think that's a very important point, because a lot of us are just kind of focused on short-term expedient interests, very short time spans. Art like Tony's and indeed other works in the show have the capacity to take people out of those conventional time frames into the deep past or into the deep future, and just to think about things from another temporal perspective.
And the exhibition is called 2112, Imagining the Future, and it's at the RMIT Gallery in Melbourne. Dr. Linda Williams, the curator, and artist Tony Lloyd, thank you very much for joining us.
Pleasure.
Thank you, Anthony.
And we'll put a link to the details for that exhibition on our website.